Good morning, everyone. Welcome, everyone, to the service again this morning. Appreciated the thoughts that we had in our Sunday school devotion. And it's a privilege to be here. Welcome to all of our visitors. And we're privileged this morning to have Brother Elmer Glick with us to bring us the message, and also Brother Jonas Sauter, who's here with him as well. They are going through teaching teacher trainings for CLP, and so we get to have an extra benefit from that. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 21. We recognize this passage here. I'm going to read verses 1 through 17 as the cleansing of the temple. I'd like to focus especially on verses 12 through 17, but I'd like to look at the preceding verses there of the triumphal entry, just to give us a little bit of a context here. So Matthew 21, verses 1 through 17. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man say aught unto thee, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Take ye the daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And they said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. What provoked this unique reaction from Christ? As far as I know, this is the only time that we have record of Jesus getting physical with those who displeased him, with sinners, you could say. And in John chapter 2, where we have another account of this, it says he actually made a small whip out of small cords to drive out the animals and the merchants. What was it that provoked this extra response from Christ? I'd like to look at that just a little bit. But again, to get the context here, we see Christ coming into Jerusalem, fulfilling this prophecy that was given by Zechariah, and we can read that in Zechariah 9, verse 9, a very specific prophecy of the way that the Messiah would come riding on a donkey. We also have in Isaiah prophecies of your king coming into Zion. And there seemed to be enough of a recognition of this that as the children were crying, they were quoting. They were quoting Psalm. We can find some of their words in Psalm 118 about the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Here's the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And the priests understood that prophecy, and they understood that this referenced the Messiah. And this really irritated them. Here came Christ as a Messiah. He also came as a king. It's interesting to me there in Psalm 118, if you read through that in some of the prophecies that it talks about Christ, one of the things it says is, bind the sacrifice. And Christ came as a sacrifice. And I think that's beautiful that we have that juxtaposition there of Christ as a king, and yet Christ as a sacrifice, as a redemption for us. also talks about, they said, who is this man? And the people said, he's a prophet. He's the prophet from Nazareth. Now, that word prophet can mean a foreteller, like we often think of a prophet, but can also simply mean an inspired speaker, one who says the words of God. And I think that's the context in which they were using it here. This man speaks the words of God. We also see then, as we move on into the cleansing of the temple, that here is Christ as an enforcer of God's word. And he says, it is written. And he's using that as his authority for what he's doing. And as I look at what went on here, what provoked that response from Christ? What was it that was happening here that created such a reaction? And at the core, I think, of what was going on here in the temple was selfishness. It was all about making more for myself, maybe making a name for myself. And selfishness is the antithesis of Christ. He gave himself for us. And here was the exact opposite. And God, Christ was God giving himself for us. And now here in the place that was supposed to be the place of God, instead of it being a worship of God, it was turning into a worship of self, this place of selfishness. And selfishness was an anathema to God, and it still is. He's to be the object of our worship. And that's true for me as just my personal relationship and personal worship with God, but it's also true of formal worship. And this place, the temple, was intended to be a place of formal worship of God. And here it was being adulterated into this place of selfishness. Jesus said it's to be a house of prayer. That's a place that's dedicated to commune with God. When the place that was intended to be the dwelling place of God instead became a place to further their own agenda, or in my life becomes a place to further my own agenda, then I've made my life a den of thievery. If I use the holy places of God as a platform to promote myself or my own ideas, then I've stolen away the very presence that sanctifies that place. But the children here that the priests were so upset about singing in the temple, I believe they were coming in a purity of worship. And it's interesting to me that Jesus confirmed their words of prophecy that they had spoke as they spoke these words from Psalm 118, that here is the one who is the coming in the name of the Lord. Because when Christ gave his rebuttal to the priests, he said, have you never read out of the mouths of babes and sucklings? That's also from Psalms. And he was confirming that what they were saying as prophecy is true. It comes from the same place. And the children's purity of worship was exactly the opposite of what was happening inside the temple. It was the opposite of selfishness. It was worship is something that looks out. It looks outside of myself. And the children sang in that purity of worship, even though it was against protocol. And Jesus recognized that spirit and he commended it. The children recognized, they acknowledged, and they praised the presence of God. And that, I believe, is the essence of worship, whether personally or collectively. I find it interesting then that after Jesus did this, he left. He didn't stay around and police the temple to make sure they kept it the way that they were supposed to. He said, this is what you need to do, and he left. And left it up to them now to continue that pure place of worship. So when we recognize Jesus for who he is, I think our reaction will either be the fear and self-preservation of selfishness, or of the thieves here, or it will be the true spontaneous worship of the children.